The plane landed on its belly, slammed into a concrete wall at the end of the runway, and burst into flames. A man's in critical condition after he was pushed onto the subway tracks in New York Tuesday. The 23-year-old suspect was arrested soon after police released video of the incident. ABC's Sonia Rincon has details.
Kamel Hawkins was quickly apprehended and held here at 59th Street thanks to transit cops looking for the person in that video. He is charged with attempted murder and assault as a felony. Police believe this was random. They say he did not know the victim and said nothing to him before pushing him in front of that train.
The person burned alive sleeping on a subway car last week has been identified as a 57-year-old New Jersey woman. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbush Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Allbush Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, join us as we revisit some of our best interviews from 2024. Have a happy new year. Stay safe. We'll be back live on Thursday.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. From our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey, it's nice to have you along for one of the end-of-the-year editions of Up North News Radio, where we revisit 2024 in different ways. We have some of our lighter moments. We have some of our favorite guests, specific topics like our weekly reports on climate change. And this hour, a bit of a year in review through the perspective of how we talked about each day's events. And I'd love to tell you that everything that came out of my mouth and into this microphone and right into your ears was always right. And you could bet the farm on my pearls of wisdom. But we all see that the year 2024 is ending not exactly how we thought it would look 12 months ago. So for our first highlight for the year in review, I'll start with some self-administered humble pie. Here's one of our first shows of the year and a couple of minutes of what I had to say coming back from vacation, talking about the anniversary of the January 6th insurrection and the ridiculous things ex-President Donald Trump was saying on the campaign trail. And you can hear in my voice that I figured that voters, having rejected Trump in 2020, had the tools to see through him again. But, well, look, let's first enjoy listening back to the state of the race last January 8th. A lot of what we are going to start with deals with the weekend anniversary of the January 6th attack. And all last week, being back from vacation, I never mentioned that my beach read for this last go around was the Heather Cox Richardson book, Democracy Awakening. I know a lot of folks read Heather Cox Richardson's daily newsletters. They are brilliant in putting the day's political events into perspective, often with a historical context. If you are a fan of Heather Cox Richardson, you'll like the book, but you will also, I had to put the book down many times because it just made me very angry at the things that we know have happened. All of the warning signs have been out there for generations about places this country could go to, the dark places this country could go to if we essentially took our democracy for granted. And it just shows that, again, Trump was not the beginning of this movement. He's merely the latest manifestation and has taken it further than other politicians before that. Just look at this weekend as Trump was rambling across Iowa, referring to the insurrectionists as patriots and hostages, which, by the way, begs the question, which is it? Are they hostages who he's promising to pardon? Because I also thought they were FBI undercover people and Antifa people. So which is it? Which are the group that beat police with baseball bats and American flags, who sprayed them with chemicals, who hunted for lawmakers, who put up a gallows outside the U.S. Capitol? Are these really hostages? That's the case he's making. He also, again, over the weekend, praised dictators, referring to President Xi multiple times as brilliant for, as he put it, ruling 1.5 billion people with an iron fist. That's the guy who soiled the presidency previously and wants to be there again. And I know that in saying that, that's going to cheese some people off, cheese some regular folks off who vote Republican. Well, don't, because we're not talking about most people that we know who vote Republican don't talk like this. And they understand that January 6th was an attempt to overthrow an election. It's the politicians, the people who get in power and support this, who stick with Trump day in and day out, despite the many crimes and the many ways he telegraphs how he wants to upend democracy. Those are the folks who are, at this point, aptly described the way that Mark Jacob named them. And it's not nice. And it's going to lead to a busy 2024. And as I said, we'll talk about, you know, the little things that can get started right now to make sure that 2024 isn't some kind of a bellwether year in the continued corrosion of democracy, but instead where we see Americans of all political stripes take a stand and say, look, democracy, like it or not, is most uniquely defined in this way compared to all other systems. Democracy is properly described as the losers of elections go willingly, that there is a peaceful transfer of power that started with George Washington. And yet here's Donald Trump not only fighting that once before, but telegraphing that, you know, violence would be okay this year as well. And here he has continually put himself up there as the greatest president, comparing himself to Washington, comparing himself to Lincoln, and saying over the weekend that he could negotiate a better deal, you know, for the Civil War, that he thought that if he were there, he said he'd be so good at negotiating that people would never know if Abraham Lincoln was any good. That's actually, and again, when he says the Civil War could have been negotiated, I mean, the Washington Post has already reached out to some historians who respectfully, shall we say, disagree. Because again, what are you negotiating after the Confederacy fires on Fort Sumter and starts to leave the Union, secede from the United States over the issue of slavery? What does that tell you Donald Trump would be willing to do? We already know the answer, because we already know where he is on Ukraine. We already know that he loves Putin, respects him, thinks he's a strong, brilliant person. And so, you know, if you got to give up a little bit of Ukraine, that's fine. Amazing how that would have worked out in Europe, you know, when Hitler was doing the same shtick. This is the guy that you want negotiating. He hasn't negotiated anything. He never negotiated a healthcare plan. He never negotiated an infrastructure plan. He's not a negotiator. He's not a successful businessman. He's a snake oil salesman who's done good the first time, got lucky the first time, lost the second time, and yet is coming back at another kick of the can, hopefully with Americans who've read books like Heather Cox Richardson's and others, and are better prepared to stand up for our democracy. Ooh, get a load of that guy from way back then. It sure seemed at the time like standing up for democracy was going to connect with folks. I mean, they saw what happened. They saw the January 6th Congressional Committee and all that it uncovered. But instead, we were told the election was going to be more about vibes. For example, if the economy is recovering, but Trump and his allies said often enough that the economy was terrible, well, that's what Trump was saying, so it must be true. No? Okay, fine. So how about if Trump actually tells you that even after all these years, he still doesn't have a replacement plan for the Affordable Care Act? Will folks believe him about that? Here's the audio from something I talked about in social media posts from right after one of the debates.
So just a yes or no, you still do not have a plan?
I have concepts of a plan.
Wait. The concept of a plan after 9 years?
I'm not president right now.
But you were for 4 years. We remember, trust me, all those years of trying to kill the Affordable Care Act without a replacement, without the concept of a plan that would replace it.
But if we come up with something, I would only change it if we come up with something that's better and less expensive.
All right, let's talk about those concepts. Do you have the concept of a plan yet that would have at least 260,000 people in Wisconsin signing up for affordable coverage? Because that's what we have right now in Wisconsin under the Affordable Care Act. A record 260,000 people signed up for affordable coverage in the last year. In all 72 counties, people had at least three different insurance options for affordable coverage. Do you have that concept?
We have to do that.
Does that concept include covering 10 different conditions like mental health care and prescription drugs?
We have to do that.
Does your concept include a requirement that 80% of insurance premiums have to go directly toward medical care, or else those insurance companies have to give back a rebate? Because in Wisconsin in 2022, insurance companies had to send $7 million back to Wisconsinites because they couldn't make that standard.
We have to do that.
And here's the big one, pre-existing conditions. All those years you tried to get the Affordable Care Act killed without a replacement meant that 2.4 million people in Wisconsin with pre-existing conditions were in danger of losing all of their health care coverage.
There are concepts and options.
It just seems to me that after 9 years, you'd be a little further along. Although, how have you been saying it for all these years?
And you'll be hearing about it in the not-too-distant future.
Yes. Anytime now.
And spoiler alert, since that time and to this day, Trump still only has concepts of a plan. Look, the fact of the matter is, while 75 million voters liked the idea that Kamala Harris would protect health care, there were 77 million others who decided they'd rather go with Trump. That, of course, is not some kind of a massive mandate. It is, to be clear, a squeaker of a win. Still, Trump says often enough that it's a mandate and that all that came before, like the criminal prosecutions of his attempted coup in 2020, should go away. So should they? I had some thoughts on that a couple of weeks ago when the Wisconsin Department of Justice filed new criminal charges against two Trump attorneys from Wisconsin who helped carry out the fake electors part of the plan. This was at the same time that Trump's electors were meeting in state capitals around the country to certify their state's results. Greg, did you hear about the fake electors who met at the state capitol yesterday?
No, Pat, I did not hear about the fake electors who met in Madison yesterday.
Oh, you know why you didn't hear about them?
Why?
It didn't happen. It didn't happen. There weren't any fake electors meeting at the state capitol yesterday, just the real ones. Isn't that crazy?
But wait a minute, Pat. My uncle sent me an email that said forward, 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 forward. Do you see what Biden's trying to do with our elections now?
Yeah. Look, here, this thing about turning the page on the 2020 election. Oh, hell no. No, 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 no. And while Trump may have been able to persuade enough people to vote for him again and can therefore pardon a lot of things at the federal level, I hope everybody with a conscience and a sense of justice at the state level does not take their foot off the gas, because this ain't over. Nobody should try to steal an American election the way these people did and then get away with it. And they will if you just say, time to turn the page. No way. More of our 2024 year in review coming up next on Up North News Radio from the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Facing an energy crisis, high inflation, and rising unemployment, President Jimmy Carter addressed the nation in his Crisis of Confidence speech on July 15, 1979.
The erosion of our confidence in the future is threatening to destroy the social and the political fabric of America. The confidence that we have always had as a people is not simply some romantic dream or a proverb in a dusty book that we read just on the 4th of July. It is the idea which founded our nation and has guided our development as a people. Confidence in the future has supported everything else, public institutions and private enterprise, our own families, and the very Constitution of the United States. Confidence has defined our course and has served as a link between generations. We've always believed in something called progress. We've always had a faith that the days of our children would be better than our own. Our people are losing that faith, not only in government itself, but in the ability as citizens to serve as the ultimate rulers and shapers of our democracy.
We've linked the full speech at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to our year in review from Up North News Radio. Rant by rant, I guess you could call this edition. And yeah, Donald Trump's win was big news. But at Up North News, our bread and butter is Wisconsin politics. So let's cover some things done by the Republican legislature or Democratic Governor Tony Evers. First, this clip from mid-February that really captures the difference in how each party would handle a budget surplus for you. Out of the legislature yesterday, another attempt, a third attempt to pass a tax cut. And not a tax cut for the middle class so much as a tax cut skewed toward the already very well off. According to a projection by the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, nearly two-thirds of the income tax savings would go to the highest paid 20% of Wisconsin taxpayers. That group has an average income of over $300,000 a year and is obviously skewed much higher than that. That's where the lion's share of the money would go. Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer blasted the package, calling it fiscally irresponsible, saying the cuts would disproportionately benefit the wealthy and drain the state's $7 billion surplus. Democratic Representative Tip McGuire of the Kenosha area told Republicans that Tony Evers is basically going to save you from yourselves by vetoing the package. Republicans, for their part, stuck with the same old talking point to make it sound like they're looking out for the middle class and lower income working families by saying the surplus should be returned to the taxpayers. And so let's say it again for our conservative friends. No, you don't return a surplus, not all of it, when it's designed to help our tax dollars have a government that functions. When you say that people can spend their money better than government, not all of it, because, no, you didn't fill any potholes today. You didn't try to teach dozens of kids. You probably aren't working a shift today that could end with you putting out a house fire, chasing down a dangerous fugitive, guarding inmates, protecting our resources, processing the paperwork that ensures families have health care, cars have license plates. You probably aren't going to do any meat inspections today to make sure our food is safe. You aren't going to trench any fiber optic cable to expand broadband service to your own legislative district. You're not going to stock any of our lakes today with fish. You sure as hell haven't done anything to replace lead pipes or clean up PFAS from any of the many tainted drinking water systems out there. You're not going to take time today to paint new lines on the highways. You're not driving a school bus. Our taxes paid for other hardworking people to do all of those things today. That's where we want our taxes to go. That's where we want the surplus to go, not to your really rich donor buddies. In fact, of all the things paid for with our tax dollars yesterday, when you took this vote, you were probably the laziest and least deserving. You didn't really earn any part of your $50,000 salary yesterday. If you still can't figure out that a budget surplus isn't yours to give away in tax cuts skewed to the wealthy, it's to do the things that make people want to come to Wisconsin, stay in Wisconsin, set up shop in Wisconsin, when all you've been doing for years is chasing away many of our best and brightest. That, of course, would not be the only time I called out Republican leadership in the Assembly and Senate for failing to meet our state's needs. In late June, a staffer at the Lincoln Hills Juvenile Correctional Facility was beaten to death by a 16-year-old. Lincoln Hills should have been closed down by that time, but in what's become a familiar theme in Madison, GOP lawmakers put their squabbling with Governor Evers ahead of almost everything else. I have to first share something I've just seen in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The youth charged in the fatal beating of a guard at Wisconsin's embattled prison for troubled youth was supposed to be housed in a different facility, but could not be moved because Republican lawmakers have withheld funding that would have facilitated the transfer. Republicans who control the legislature, writes Laura Schulte, have refused funding to expand the number of beds at another state facility for teen offenders with serious mental health needs. These are the same Republican legislators who have held up PFAS cleanup money for nearly a full year. They've allowed water to remain contaminated in Wisconsin, holding up that money. They're holding up $15 million for Chippewa Valley healthcare needs. They're holding up $50 million to improve literacy and reading programs in Wisconsin schools. And they have held up the funding that would have improved conditions at Lincoln Hills. And now somebody there is dead as a result. And all because of petty games that they continue to want to play with Governor Tony Evers rather than doing their job. Now, we can't be all about carping on GOP shortcomings, so let's close this segment with some good news. Good things are happening around what was supposed to be what Donald Trump called the eighth wonder of the world. And Foxconn did create some jobs, but it was Governor Evers who right-sized the taxpayer package and made other smart investments that are now leading to even more companies and even more jobs coming to Southeast Wisconsin. Eli Lilly, the big drug maker, is about to make a huge investment in Southeast Wisconsin. This isn't a story about the state of Wisconsin giving Eli Lilly, you know, billions of dollars. This is not a Foxconn kind of story. And let's go back to 2019. It's when Governor Evers joined the leaders of a company called Nexus Pharmaceuticals, $1.5 million in performance-based tax credits. So you have to get stuff done to get the credits. Now fast forward to earlier this year when Eli Lilly announced it was acquiring the manufacturing facility from Nexus and is now going to expand upon it, a $3 billion expansion of a manufacturing facility. It wasn't like in Foxconn. Let's push all of the taxpayer money to the center of the table and you guys just take that and we'll take it on faith that you're going to do something with it. No. Instead, by smartly investing in smaller businesses that were nimble, had more potential for growth, the larger company then comes in and is able to make a mammoth investment on its own. And it all got done with a $1.5 million targeted tax credit plan from the state of Wisconsin. More of our 2024 year in review coming up next on Up North News Radio from the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. Wisconsin's Office of Children's Mental Health has a new tool to help parents understand their preschool-age children when they're having big feelings. Melissa Kay reports.
When children are struggling with their emotions and acting out, parents don't always know what to do, many times resorting to a tablet or TV to calm the child. This doesn't help them learn to identify emotions and manage feelings in a healthy way. Children communicate how they feel with their behaviors. This tool helps families identify feelings as well as ways to calm challenging behaviors. It's called the Early Childhood Feelings Thermometer. The thermometer features 5 zones, starting at green, the calm zone, and lists feelings and behaviors associated with that zone, and goes up to red, the furious zone, with suggestions to help the child in the moment, such as vigorous physical exercise or taking a warm shower or bath. You can find out more at children.wi.gov.
Travel Wisconsin has released its snow report tool for the winter season. With more, here's Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska.
Winter is here in Wisconsin, and there's plenty to do around the state. A resource for finding your next adventure is the snow report, and Logan Rogge of Travel Wisconsin says it shows more than weather conditions around the state.
It's more than just learning about, you know, what the conditions are. It's really this full-fledged planning resource. So you can click a destination on the map and say it's a snowmobile trail or a ski hill, and you're going to find ideas for nearby restaurants to eat at, places you can spend the night, events that are happening in the area, and all these other ideas to just sort of round out that winter getaway. And you can check that out at travelwisconsin.com/snowreport.
You can also find other winter activities and information on the Travel Wisconsin website. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. People seem to notice the variety of well-reviewed films playing at the box office currently and headed to the big screen over the weekend. Sonic the Hedgehog Part 3 took the top spot at the gate with $38 million and is currently at $137 million in its first 2 weeks in theaters. The Lion King's Mufasa took a close second place with $37 million in change in its second week and is showing some good word of mouth as it is actually outperforming its haul from last week. People also wanted a little horror over their holiday as newcomer Nosferatu, which opened on Christmas Day, surprised prognosticators by pulling in $40 million over 5 days and $21 million over the weekend. Wicked and Moana 2 rounded out the top five, with Wicked pulling in $19.5 million and Moana 2 pulling in just over $18 million. Also opening on Christmas Day was the new Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, which pulled in $23 million over 5 days and finished in sixth place last weekend with $11.6 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly cloudy here on New Year's Day, although I think we will see a little sunshine by late this afternoon. Our high today in the upper teens, the wind out of the west at 10 to 20. Tonight down to 8 above. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high of 18. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 21.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Happy New Year. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff wishing you the best for 2025, especially curated. Matinair on Air coming up for you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Let's continue our review of 2024 with three people that constantly make us do a double take about things they're doing or saying: Ron Johnson, Tom Tiffany, and Derek Van Orden, folks that make the rest of the country look at us and go, really, Wisconsin? This is what you're sending us? Let's start with Joe Sopecki coming out of left field over the summer with a brilliant observation about our senior senator being completely ignored in the 2024 Veep Stakes.
Can we stop and talk about Ron Johnson for 1 second?
Sure.
Because a thought occurred to me this week.
Yeah.
The Veep Stakes is ramping up.
Oh, yes, yes.
And here's my question for you, Pat. How nuts do people have to think you are for a politically successful, elected multiple times in a battleground state, the battleground state of Wisconsin, with a business background, outsidery, kind of like Donald Trump, the Don and Ron show. Remember that one?
Yeah.
How nuts do you have to be for there never to be even a whisper of Ron Johnson being Donald Trump's vice president?
Mike, I'm absolutely shell-shocked by this because of why? Because of Doug Burgum. Who?
Right.
Who? Well, Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota, he's a businessman and he's wealthy and he delivers absolutely nothing. And holy cow, Joe, if Doug Burgum's on that short list,
why isn't Ron Johnson on there? Yeah.
Inquiring minds want to know. My theory here is that even the Trump world thinks Ron Johnson has gone so far around the bend that they want nothing to do with him. And that, my friends, is a heck of an achievement.
Oh, boy. Donald Trump does not like to be upstaged. And let's be honest, when it comes to being a puppet for Putin, could Ron Johnson ever tone it down? The answer, of course, is yet.
Our policy should be focused on how do we bring Vladimir Putin to the table. But an awful lot of what Vladimir Putin said was right. Making people believe like Ukraine can win. No, Ukraine can't. Putin won't lose. Putin will not lose. He's not going to lose.
Of course Putin can lose. Why Ron Johnson insists on being Vladimir Putin's hype man all these years remains a mystery. But the truth is, Ukraine can win, and Russia can get tired of the cost of war and pull out. The Soviet Union did it in Afghanistan. We did it in Afghanistan and Vietnam. Heck, we won our independence because England decided that the conflict overseas was no longer worth it. The place to make a stand and to support Ukraine and a secure Europe is right here, right now, with Ukrainians doing the fighting. If Putin were to win Ukraine in part or in whole, he wouldn't stop there. He'd move on to Poland or one of the Baltic states, and that would trigger an American response with soldiers fighting overseas. Bottom line is, we need our elected officials to stop licking boots overseas.
Putin won't lose. Putin will not lose. He's not going to lose.
Before we end up with American boots on the ground in a war zone.
If we get to the point in this country where we jail political prisoners, expect the Statue of Liberty to be locked up, charged by Congressman Tom Tiffany with having the gall to acknowledge that we are a nation of immigrants. All right, well, the congressman from up north appears to be at it again. Tom Tiffany is showing us for the 11D gazillionth time that he has no interest in being a public servant who works on issues that matter to regular folks in his district. He has always been about big business, but in order to get and stay in power to advocate for the wealthy and the corporate, he focuses on fear and division at the local level. Normally, he does this at the southern border, which is odd since his southern border is the Chippewa County line, but normally he's talking about folks trying to come into the country. Oftentimes, moms and dads are the people that he's demonizing, people whose lives are in danger, people who are seeking shelter, who are seeking safety, who are seeking a chance to work. He calls these vulnerable families an invasion. And the thing is, he knows better. He knows that Wisconsin agriculture, for example, would absolutely collapse without the undocumented immigrants that are here already. And would they like to be documented? Would they like to be legal? Yes. But Tom Tiffany, like nearly every other Republican politician these days, has no interest in actually solving the problem. So long as they can block any immigration solution and continue demonizing these outsiders, he gets to win elections and stay in power, cutting taxes for billionaires, encouraging polluters, comforting the comfortable, and afflicting the afflicted. Now Tiffany has an issue at his actual southern border here in the Chippewa Valley, because next door in Eau Claire County, there's a caravan coming, an invasion, to hear him tell it. Now, who are these scary people behind this caravan? They're a Christian humanitarian organization called World Relief. Now, for those folks who might need a refresher, humanitarian organizations help humans in dire need. Actual dire need. Not dire need like, well, you used to like Bud Light, but then they let someone do their commercials that you don't like, so now you're a victim because you have to find another beer to drink. No, that's not dire. Dire is your hometown has been blown up, and your neighbors are lying dead and maimed all around you in a war zone. They were living nice, normal lives, working hard, raising kids. Then something they didn't seek out happened to them. If it had happened to you, you'd be looking for a little humanity. And that's where humanitarian groups step in. One of them World Relief is looking to provide the resources so that 75 people in dire need can get out of danger and start over someplace, raise a family, work hard, become part of a new community. But of course, as soon as you slap a label on them, refugees, now they're too dirty or too dangerous for you to remember. They're not actually that much different from you, except that your city didn't get blown up. But to hear Congressman Tiffany and some others tell it, the Chippewa Valley can't afford to support humanity. And even if it weren't about the money, what about vetting these refugees? By the way, side note, the odds are quite good that your ancestors were looked down upon as refugees when they came here, leaving famine or poverty or violence, when all they wanted was safety and shelter and a place to work hard and raise their kids. According to the Eau Claire Leader Telegram, Congressman Tiffany said in Chippewa County about the vetting process, quote, "It really is a different system of migration coming into our country at this point. It's not an understatement at this point to say our country is being invaded." That's not an understatement, Congressman Tiffany. That's a lie. The system being used by a humanitarian organization overseas in this effort in Eau Claire is different than the chaos that we see at the southern border, chaos that is directly the result of people like Tom Tiffany and Ron Johnson and others actively working to undermine any effort at immigration reform year after year after year. But back to World Relief and their plans for the Chippewa Valley, as explained by the group's vice president in an interview with WQOW, refugees are people who are invited by the U.S. government while they're overseas. They are vetted overseas in a process regulated under U.S. law. It authorizes programs and assistance for domestic resettlement to refugees. It says that the Office of Refugee Resettlement will meet with the agency, the humanitarian groups, as well as state and local officials. Those meetings have been going on for months, looking at data related to housing, employment, demographics, and more to be sure that any given community is a good fit and that these folks will not become a burden to the community, but could put down roots and be beneficial to the community. Except that, as often happens through American history, there's always a few folks ready to yank the welcome mat. Which brings us to Chippewa County and a proposed resolution before the Chippewa County Board that wants a moratorium on refugee resettlement, you know, until we can figure out what does it cost us money-wise to be humanitarian. I've no doubt that the move to get a moratorium passed by the Chippewa County Board is because they tried to get one passed in Eau Claire, and the County Board voted no by a 2-1 margin, 18-9. Fun fact, by the way, when it comes to passing a moratorium, Wisconsin used to have something called a mining moratorium that said if you wanted to put a mine in Wisconsin, well, there's a moratorium unless you can prove you've operated a mine for years somewhere else, that it was closed and capped and didn't pollute for several years. If you prove you can mine responsibly, you can mine. But if you can't, there's a moratorium. Except there's not anymore. You know who blew up that moratorium? Toxic Tom Tiffany. Now he wants a moratorium on immigration, and he's bringing that same toxic language to a discussion over welcoming people in distress who've been vetted, because making some people scared of other people is how people like Tom Tiffany win elections. Not by actually doing something to, say, address the crazy big shortage of workers, you know, through things like immigration reform. Now, I know the response is going to be, we're not against those people. We're just looking for more information. Okay. Just don't count on me to be surprised if after you've received some information, you say you need some more. And then some more. And even then, you still have concerns. The way other people had concerns about your great-grandfather. I mean, after all, look at him. He's Irish, or he's Jewish, or he's Asian. He doesn't look like a hard worker. He looks like somebody who's going to come here and just collect a check to do nothing. When the story of immigration in our country is anything but. I would contend that if you want to talk about someone who isn't a hard worker, who just wants to collect a check to do nothing, I have a congressman I could tell you about, or some legislators. Maybe the moratorium should be on stunts that target human beings in need when there's real work that these politicians could be doing instead of photo ops and stunts. Congressman Derek Van Orden squeaked out another close win in November, giving Western Wisconsin two more years to endure the keyboard warrior. I noted in June how he loved spreading conspiracies about President Biden, maybe so folks wouldn't notice how little he's accomplished versus what he has done with some of his votes. Okay, so Derek Van Orden passes that along as a way to distract from Trump, apparently. But maybe it's a way to distract from something Derek Van Orden did as well. Maybe it's a way to distract from a vote late last week in favor of putting a Confederate monument back at Arlington National Cemetery. And keep in mind, Derek Van Orden loves to talk about being a Navy SEAL and being a veteran. And yet he and more than 190 Republicans voted to restore a Confederate monument. Now, this amendment to a proposed defense spending measure lost big time, 230 to 192, but only 24 Republicans had the courage. I would go a step further. Only 24 Republicans had the brains not to restore a Confederate monument. But not Derek Van Orden, not Tom Tiffany, not Scott Fitzgerald, not Glenn Grothman. To those and any others who say, well, this is just part of Southern heritage and tradition, House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries put it this way: what tradition are you upholding? Slavery? Rape? Kidnapping? Jim Crow? Lynching? Racial oppression? All of the above? Is how Hakeem Jeffries put it. When you hear the word heritage, be alert. Heritage is a word that's now used in political terms to defend laziness, to defend the indefensible, to defend inaction, to defend uncaring, which is where I would again strongly, earnestly urge local media in Wisconsin to stop treating Derek Van Orden with kid gloves. He was once again at a local farm over the weekend talking about farming and the family farm, and we need to keep the family farm going. It's an integral part of our heritage here in Wisconsin, Van Orden said. Heritage, a word to defend uncaring and inaction. Like the farm bill, where Derek Van Orden hasn't done a single thing to make life better for Wisconsin farmers. But he's got time to spread lies about Joe Biden and vote to restore a Confederate monument. Hey, to listen back to any of our shows from 2024, head to civicmedia.us, click on shows, find our page and scroll through all we've done, and subscribe to us as a podcast while you're there. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're closing out this hour's look back at our commentary on the news events of 2024. Let's end with something I was sure was going to have more traction with voters. There was a bipartisan agreement to secure the border and reform immigration. Bipartisan, popular. And Donald Trump blew it up and admitted he needed to keep it as a campaign issue. Big, dumb, obvious mistake, right? I guess not. To set it all up, I talked about Assembly Speaker Robin Voss trying to have it both ways on Donald Trump's big lie about the 2020 election. All right, there is a new effort underfoot to drive Wisconsin Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss from office. And it's not coming from, you know, where you might think. It's not coming from Democrats. It's coming again, like the last time, from fellow Republicans, a subset of fellow Republicans, right-wing Republicans, who think that Robin Voss hasn't done enough to help Donald Trump steal the 2020 election in Wisconsin. Voss has dismissed the recall attempt as a waste of time and resources. Then he engaged in the same kind of partisan bullying that he's been known for during his time in the legislature. He questioned the validity of the signatures, promising that a team he had assembled would, quote, evaluate each individual signature, which, yes, on the one hand means they're checking for the validity, but much like the recall petitions against Scott Walker, you can also see how those signatures might become weaponized and people might become targets for political communication. The recall efforts, they basically highlight the continued frustration among Trump supporters and how Voss responded to it. As you know, Trump narrowly won Wisconsin in 2016, but narrowly lost to Joe Biden in 2020 by about 21,000 votes. That count has withstood partial recounts, numerous lawsuits, an independent audit, and a review by a conservative law firm. Some of Voss's supporters are saying, "Well, these folks are Democrats, or if they aren't Democrats, then they're basically symbolic Democrats." And I'm simply going to read the reaction from Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area when he wrote, quote, "Voss emboldened election deniers post-2020 by launching the Gableman, quote-unquote, investigation, making Janelle Branchen the head of the Assembly Elections Committee, and more. But Voss couldn't produce their impossible endgame, and now that emboldening is backfiring, and this is entirely deserved." And that's exactly it. Voss was playing with fire. You know, he coddled the election deniers, and he tried to placate them, and then he tried to essentially ignore them or shunt them to the side, tried to give them lip service, basically playing with fire and not having the guts to do the right thing. And that is to stand up and say, no, the election results in Wisconsin are fair and honest, and Donald Trump lost, and let's just accept that and move on. But unfortunately, we live in an age where the folks who could be standing up to Donald Trump and the Republican Party won't do so. And that takes us to Alabama Senator Katie Britt. And we talked a bit on Friday about her uniquely creepy response to the State of the Union address. But then the story that she was telling about sex trafficking and migrants turned out to be not true. Because again, as we say all the time, when you When you can't win on ideas, you make stuff up. You tell a scary story about sex trafficking to attack President Biden, conveniently leaving out the part about how the story took place during the George W. Bush years. And it took place in Mexico, not the U.S. It took an independent journalist to figure out that Senator Britt was fabricating the details of the story and basically exploiting the very people she pretends to care about. The woman who was at the center of the story, which did happen, but again, 20 years ago in Mexico, said she wants politicians to basically stop using her story for partisan purposes. She said, "The work I do is not a game." But a spokesperson for Senator Britt said, "The story Senator Britt told was 100% correct." In other words, if we don't admit that we lied, we can keep telling the lie, I guess. But here's the worst part of it. Senator Britt was part of the Republican negotiating team that was working on a bipartisan border security and immigration bill. And they did it. They actually got it done. They had a chance to show that Republicans could work with Democrats, with both sides making concessions, both sides compromising. And then when Donald Trump said to blow it up so that everyone's misery down at the border could continue and give him something to talk about, she and the other Republicans just rolled over. Her speech on Thursday night could have been really big. She could have said, "I want you to call on my colleagues to schedule the vote on this bill. It's the best bill that could have come up in 30 years. Let's get it done. I'm sorry, former President Trump, but we're trying to get some work done. We're trying to solve some problems." She didn't. Instead, she made a Saturday Night Live worthy joke of herself, which Scarlett Johansson worked to perfection over the weekend. So congratulations, Senator Britt. You got your moment of time. You got your audition for Donald Trump. But the actual work that you could have gotten done is still languishing because you lacked that political courage. But somehow, lack of political courage became an asset in 2024. It has a lot to do with the media landscape, so it also explains why we've spent the past hour revisiting it, to make clear the truth isn't going away, and there are new voices, new media outlets, willing to tackle misinformation in the hopes of giving norms and democracy a few more victories in the future. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thanks for listening. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allball.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a special New Year's Day edition. My little sister Heather will be here. We'll talk college football playoffs and New Year's resolutions. Join us to ring in the new year.
The Todd Allball Show, weekdays noon till 2. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, New Orleans attack. I'm Brian Clark. 10 people are dead. At least 35 are in hospitals after what the mayor of New Orleans called a terrorist attack.
It was hours after midnight, but New Year's revelers still packed the French Quarter when a man in a pickup truck sped down Bourbon Street directly into the throng of people. Police Superintendent Dan Kirkpatrick says it was no accident.
He was hell-bent
on creating the carnage and the damage that he did.
10 people were killed, more than 30 were injured. After crashing his truck, the suspect jumped out and opened fire on police, wounding 2 officers. ABC News has learned that the man was shot dead by police. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Authorities say improvised explosive devices were also found. The FBI's now taken over the investigation as they ask people to avoid the area. Police say they have been staffed 100% with an additional 300 officers on duty from other departments and agencies. This is ABC News.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm James Kelly with WB.